Hey everyone, and welcome to the Show Notes Show! Yay!
Just like that, huh?
Yeah, that's how I'm gonna start the episode.
God, look at the spike in the audio right there.
It's okay,
I
don't have to listen to this.
Yes, you do.
Yes, you do.
We all listen to it, probably just like at least a little bit to see if it feels good.
I listen to it all, Michael.
Yeah.
If you don't listen to
it, I listen to it multiple times.
If you listen to your own podcast, you're some kind of douchebag.
Isn't that what we were talking about?
No.
I guess they weren't wrong then, James.
Yep.
Michael, you're wrong. I'm never wrong.
But anyways, yeah, this is episode 4?
Yeah, it's 4.
It's episode 4 of the Show Notes Show. Give or take a bonus episode that may or may not ever be on the internet.
You mean the noise? Oh god, the noise.
Long story short, everyone started drinking and we figured it would be a good idea to record the room.
It wasn't. It wasn't okay.
Well, all the adults started drinking.
Why, you a little bitch, Michael?
I'm the youngest one here.
That's right. Okay, so I started drinking and thought it would be a good idea to record the room. It wasn't.
No, Ricky started drinking and Ricky thought it'd be a good idea to record the room.
I just pushed the button.
Everybody and then you started hitting. You started hitting the.
Don't do it.
No, you started hitting the mic.
Oh my god! Okay, let's start.
Look, I saw the movement of your hand get closer to the mic and then pull away.
Well, okay. Why don't we
force
start these introductions?
Yeah. Anyways, I'm Lorenzo, also known as Twitch.
I'm Michael.
It's time.
Ricky, go.
That was gay.
You're homosexual, Michael.
It's a song.
I'm Ricky, and I'm actually going to be here for the beginning part of the podcast this time.
Hello, I'm Jimmy.
Podcast is on.
Yeah. Anyways, let's start this off. God damn it, stop. Get that away from the mic.
Okay, also James is looking at a...
Wait, show it.
Science. Oh.
Science videos.
I want to see this.
I have to see this.
We need to see this.
Everyone oh my home. God, so the pumpkin is on the table.
Whoa!
It exploded out of the pumpkin.
I don't know whether to trust most of these. Like, I want to try them, but...
No, let's start this relevant. Ricky, you just finished BioShock Infinite.
Hold on.
What's about to... What the fuck?
This is... We're going to probably have to edit this, maybe.
Yeah.
What?
Oh my god. Stop.
Okay.
Stop it.
It was better when you were playing games on the podcast instead of doing just
was
the
it?
Shit.
Was it?
This yeah. is bad for radio. No one knows what we're whatting at.
Science.
All you gotta know is it's science.
Like, I just created snow.
Jesus Christ.
It's either snow or lie.
Oh, I'm so scared.
You know what that reminded me of, James? In that episode of Scrubs where he's like, don't open that bottle of root beer when you're like,
oh, yeah.
Right. 3 weeks
dude,
like,
the John Doe three time. It really works in real life.
And then just like, dude, like it's like a hose just being sprayed in the car.
What? What?
What?
Oh my god! That is the coolest thing!
I just want to try all these.
I know, because what if the atmosphere starts on fire?
Wait,
what the hell? He like,
what did he do?
Jesus. Okay, I guess. Back on track.
I recorded the intro of
yeah.
the show.
Well, oh, yeah, okay. That's what happens when you drink beer. Empty calories, motherfucker.
I don't even know what you're just saying.
He's scooping nothing into nothing.
Wait, what?
He scoops nothing and I'm like, science keeps happening. Watch. Okay, okay, like, everybody here is probably like, what the fuck's wrong with this guy? And then.
That's just magic, dude.
It is, dude. Fucking science, man. Like.
We can't say like a lot like guys.
No, well, like, we can't.
Alright, I think we should get back onto the show.
Yeah, hold on. What is that? Oh, it's an octopus. It's right there.
Where? Dude, I can't see it. Alright, this is probably the last one until I have to like. It's a boiled golf ball.
What?
Oh, that's
okay, so, we can do this one.
That's so unsettling.
God.
Aren't those things supposed to protect your hands?
It's the temperature of the sun.
Wait, what?
I saw this in a tool video once.
Okay, it's like going through the body, right?
No, this is an
MRI.
Look,
there's its legs.
It's an MR of the brain.
No, that was the whole body. Look, there's a pizza. Hey, that's the head.
Okay, yeah, it's a scan going
down.
Whoa! Ah, to do.
No. No. Oh my god, hold on, he's so scared.
Oh my god, they're fighting.
Oh my god!
They're fighting!
Oh, he's gone. Like, even the cameraman just left.
Dude, what is this?
I don't know what it is.
Did he just create life, like, out of clay?
And now it's starting to revolt.
Oh my god, it's somewhere in America right now.
No, shut up.
Oh, that's what's gonna happen
That's Universe Sandbox.
I haven't felt this sick since the Universe Sandbox.
The Bioshock is Bioshock since Dishonored.
What?
No, Bioshock is the best Bioshock. Okay.
No,
Bioshock is Bioshock. You didn't even say Bioshock Infinite.
Well, no, because that's all I had to write about Bioshock.
Is that all you have to say about Bioshock?
It's the Bioshockiest Bioshock.
This is all I had to write down to remember, like, things. Yes, I finished Bioshock not an hour ago. Yeah, about an hour ago. An hour and a half. And it is, without a doubt, the Bioshockiest Bioshock since Dishonored. Because Dishonored felt more Bioshocky than Bioshock 2. I have been looking forward to Bioshock Infinite since...
The day it was announced.
Bioshock 2 came out in 2009.
Infinite was announced the same year as 2, right?
Like, yeah, because 2 came out. 'Cause Bioshock 2 came out in February of 2009.
And then Infinite was announced
like in November or something. I think it was you actually, Twitch, who sent me the link to that, to the first video where like starts off with that little like fishbowl.
Yeah.
And like ever since then I was looking forward to it. I kind of blocked it out for a while. I didn't look at any of the videos that were like being shown or like any news following it.
I was shown.
What are you talking about?
For the
last 3 months or so. There was a new video every 2 weeks.
In retrospect of like what we just saw, they didn't show anything.
Mm-hmm. No,
oh my god! But they really saved that.
They released a lot of cool, like a lot of cool stuff. Like they had that.
Are we gonna spoil it?
Well, no. Just like the trailers they showed, the ones that I saw anyway, because there's still a lot that I didn't see. Like the one that just shows what Columbia was in great detail. It was like in black and white.
Oh yeah,
it was really cool. Like the live action one, they showed a bunch of like stuff that I was like, I really hope this is in game, and then it wasn't, and I was like, I'm really glad that wasn't in game. But then again, the game it made me feel complete again.
It made me feel great.
Like this spot right here, I feel again. Right here.
Yeah, I think I'm happier that I saw you play it than like than I actually played.
I want to run through it again just so I can change some of the major decisions I made.
Are there multiple endings or?
I don't know.
No.
It's just that singular one. Where the blank
happened. I want a blank.
Well, I mean everything
with the multiple blanks.
Shut up, Michael! You already ruined it. They know now. They know now.
No, like because I had known about the like how everything wraps up for a while. That's why I was so excited to actually see it. You could explain that all you want to somebody. It's not gonna mean shit until you like watch it in motion.
Yeah.
That sounds crazy.
But like, I want to see if any of the decisions I made, like that I can think of off the spot. There's like two that
like
is like the necklace and killing a certain boss.
Hammerton.
What's his name?
Hammerton.
Slate. Yeah, that was his name. Oh, he was like your war buddy or something. Oh. Like killing him and choosing that necklace was like a really bland. Like, hey, choose this. Do you want to kill him or do you want to let him? And I didn't kill him. So I want to see what happens if I just pop him in the head once.
Pop,
or like, pop, Elizabeth, like at some point, she wears a necklace. And like, you can choose, do you want her to wear a bird or a cage? And I picked the cage just because I pressed buttons at the same time. And the game was like, okay, cage it is. But, I mean, oh my god, it was so good. The only, like, I don't even want to complain about the difficulty, because just that one part with that one handyman.
But you saw all the, like, combat the situations that happened afterwards, like, it only would have gotten harder.
Yeah, it would have, like...
But that's, like, the best thing about playing Bioshock, and, like, because when it gets really intense, like, it gets really intense.
No, but I'd rather have for the first time playing it through, the first time, what I did with Bioshock 1... When I finally got old enough to understand what the game was about, instead of just being a shooter. It? Well, it came out in 2006, I think, or 2007? 2007.
Wait.
So I was like...
6 for 360 and then 7 for PS3.
Yeah, no, I played it on 360.
It didn't come out that early. It came out
It had to come out like 2007.
So then 2008.
Because the first was only for 360. And we had it for 360. And I don't know what happened to that copy. I don't know. But we ended up getting it. No, because you had an Xbox, so I was like...
I think I might still have my Xbox copy of Bioshock somewhere.
Oh, well, I played through the first one, and then I loved it, and then the second one, and I still loved it, despite what all of you people might think. And then,
I can't play that game. I tried playing Bioshock 2 the night before Infinite came out, just to get excited, and I got like an hour and a half in, and I was like, this is boring. This game is dumb. Not even dumb, like, this is boring.
No, I really like, well, then again, it's my favorite game series. When I played Bioshock 2 knowing full well that it was, like, not so much a continuation of the first story, but of the city and, like, the...
It was, like, another branch of the
like, yeah, which, I mean, yeah, it's kind of boring that they decided... Which is why when Twitch told me, it takes place in a different city, you know, in the sky, and I was like, I don't know how to feel about that yet.
Your health
like, daddy's... Yeah, I was like, how do I feel about this, you know? It's different... But in the end, different turned out to be the best damn thing that they can do. So in Bioshock 2, when they decided, we're going to leave you in Rapture, but you get to play as Big Daddy now. That was boring, but I liked it because I was really into the whole Rapture, Bioshock, Big Daddy, Little Sister, things. Splicers.
Splicer!
Oh, man, but that last part in Infinite, my life just went full circle.
Everyone's got to be here. Hurry up, Christina.
Like, you get to that one part, and then you just, like, as soon as it goes on screen.
That end was definitely...
I wanted to, like, throw up a little.
That was the only bit I really saw.
The only thing I could describe it as was, like, I wanted to throw up, put it in a box, wrap it nicely, and then give it to Ken Levin.
The beginning of that game is also, like, super, like, I think... It would be easier for me to remember going, getting to Columbia for the first time than it is remembering getting to Rapture for the first time.
Oh, no, getting to Rapture the first time.
That was fucking awesome.
That was great. Getting to Columbia was just as great for me, actually. The way that you would get to Rapture with the whole underwater and then, like, that giant squid would pass by just so you could be like, hey, you're really fucking deep underwater. And then you see that Big Daddy that's, like, hitting the wall or something or repairing something. And then all good things of this world flow into the city. And I was like, oh, this place is awesome. And then in Columbia, you get launched into the sky at, like, 100 miles an hour. And right when you slow down, you're getting right to Columbia, and it's heaven. It's essentially what one would imagine heaven to look like. Mm-hmm. Clouds, and it's all pretty. And
it's so bright.
Buildings. It looks like there's never nighttime, which there probably isn't. The buildings are nice, and then you land, and you're greeted by a circle of people that want to cleanse you of your sins.
You know what I thought was incredibly fucking awesome and, like, genius in, like, and a designer, like, plotted out the animation courses and, like, built a lighting engine just to, like, give you the scene is, you know how in Bioshock when you're going down, like, as you're going down, you're reading all these, like, plaques that describe Rapture?
Yeah.
But the way they did it, when you're getting to Columbia, is There are no actual signs, but there are just, like, these metal racks, and, like, it's been cut out, but it's up against a window, so you could read them all the way down.
Yeah.
As you pass them,
the sun is going perfectly through
a window, so that, like, the letters glow as, like, you get to that, eye level point with the sun, and it looks amazing.
So the lighting's good.
The lighting is fucking amazing.
Yeah, George mentioned that. Like, dude, the lighting's good.
The lighting is so, so good.
Yeah, it looks pretty.
And not just, like...
It was pretty.
Yeah, and it's really good not just, like, lighting the characters, but the things they do with lighting, like the lightning.
Oh, that one scene! Oh, well, it is... No, it's not even night. It's just cloudy.
Stormy.
It's cloudy and stormy, and lightning starts striking. And you can see, like, brief glimpses of of other parts of the city, like, in the distance as a background.
Yeah.
But it's the whole thing's moving, so, like, the lightning strikes here, and then, like, you can see the back, like, the backlit mm-hmm. of the city, and then it moves a little bit. And you can see this part over here. But it all looked really good. I stood there for a good 3 minutes just looking. No complaints from either me, Twitch, or Pepper.
Oh, that game was so pretty.
Pepper usually likes to criticize movies.
I didn't see the whole game all the way through, but my favorite Elizabeth is Elizabeth on the beach. God, it's so like... I wish I could hug like a compilation of code, because that entire beach section like throws any doubt away in your mind that like, oh, Elizabeth is just going to be like a Save the Princess character. Like, no, Elizabeth is charming as fuck.
Yeah.
And like so super animated, almost outside of the bounds of like the way a realistic person would like act and move and express themselves, but it works so well.
Like a Disney.
Yeah.
But better. Just like you've always wanted to.
In the end of that game, like, if there was a way to capture that noise you let out, and just have that be the intro of the show and be the only spoiler thing, like, not the description of what's going on, just that noise you made when it happened.
I can't remember it.
No, you can't!
I remember
Was that a genuine surprise? Like, you had no
idea. I had no idea. You remember I joked about it.
That was so good.
What if the
old Yeah. Man,
what if the last tear?
What if the last tear?
And then it did.
And then you just quickly ran up to
where
you wanted to see, and then you just wanted to hug me.
I was
there.
Oh, I wish I could talk more. Fuck it.
Well, no, because I'm going to ruin it for everybody else.
Fine, then.
The game has to be like at least a year old.
I'm not going to say anything about the ending. I'm just going to say Lighthouse.
We could record spoiler kind
of. When I got to the... when in the beginning of the game, you get to... Because I'm pretty sure, like, if you haven't seen that trailer where you get to Columbia, you don't. But you get through a lighthouse.
Well, I didn't. I didn't see anything.
You don't.
I intentionally didn't see anything.
So I guess everybody in this podcast right now is lacking intelligence.
Yeah.
Except Ricky. So... when you get there and you see the lighthouse, I was kind of not nostalgic so much, just glad that they kept the little part. But I had no idea that it had like that much effect.
Yeah, you didn't think you were gonna see.
I didn't think I was gonna see a lighthouse. I want to hug somebody.
You already hugged somebody. Come on.
Yeah.
Come here, Batman.
But yeah, if there's any doubt in your mind that like. A game can't come close to like what the original BioShock did for games. Play Infinite.
Oh, the name BioShock Infinite.
Nah, it makes sense.
Oh, that makes perfect sense. Sorry.
That was like...
I don't think I get the bio part yet.
BioShock? Yeah. Like it's a shotgun light. Like who would do something like this?
So the way it goes, System Shock... Then BioShock Systems Shock 3. And then BioShock Infinite is BioShock 2. And then there is no in-between games.
Oh, man. Where could they make the next BioShock?
They won't.
They won't. They can't.
It's space. It's a space.
I thought it was interesting the way that, like, combat evolved, sort of. Because I guess thinking back, I always sort of compared the, like, shooting in the original BioShock to be, like, for your comparison, Doom-based. And then, like, Infinite is, like, very vaguely Halo-based, even the way you're, like, you click in the stick to, like, zoom in with your guns, and then you have your rechargeable shield, and there are, like, health packs around.
I was really happy with what they did with the combat. In the first one, well, since it was new, it was awesome how you had the gun on the right and then the plasmid on the left. And in the second one, you just always had the two out, so it made it that much easier. But in this one, they blended the two so well. You're always technically double wield, like dual wielding, but
you just don't want to show it.
You just don't show your left hand. You've always got your gun out, and when you need to, it's kind of like a quick draw. You've always got the gun out, and then boom, every now and again when you need it, you just press it and he shoots out the birds or he shoots out lightning. In the first one, you had to switch hands. In the first one, you had the gun.
I thought you just pulled the left trigger and then. Like,
no, in the first one, you had your gun, and then you would press the left trigger. And then he would bring his hand out, and then you shot. And then the second one, it was just always out. So he was just like,
he was just walking around like a half-tard, like,
ooh. Well, he was a big daddy.
Like, give me a hug. Give me a hug.
Yeah, I mean, wasn't he shot in the head? Like,
yeah, he was.
By himself.
I could sit here and think about, like, the intricacies of the end of that game.
The best part is I don't have to. I'm just going to play it again.
Alright, so, like,
8 times.
So, rating. 20 points scale.
Life satisfaction.
Like, 20
points. 10 of 10 would play it again.
Like, if it's a scale of 1 to 20, life satisfaction out of 10. Well, I'm pretty sure I would be
slower than like a 10.
I would be very upset if Ken Levine kept going.
He's not that
even if he like sold the
I want him to stop making shooters.
He won't continue with Bioshock. He'll still make games.
I want Irrational to stop.
Yeah, I don't want them to stop making games. Make God,
basketball.
No,
but
no,
if
no,
they
like shooter games.
If they stop, yeah.
Well, I honestly feel like Irrational's game since System Shock have been held back by the tropes of the genre that they decided to stick to.
Yeah,
Irrational is essentially known for like their storytelling, and then they're sticking to like a genre that they want to do really, really interesting things with, but, like, they have to put in the typical, like, expectations of that genre. Like, I would play an Irrational game that didn't have any combat in it, and I'd probably like it more than any of their combat games.
So if Irrational made Heavy Rain 2?
Games that don't involve, like, that don't base, like, the entire game around
how
combat.
Like,
Irrational's the next big
or game. Or Irrational gets a hold of The Walking Dead, the comic.
Irrational needs to write for Telltale. I'm gonna think
it. Telltale, that's what it is.
Dude, Irrational next big game. Ball in the cup.
But with so much gripping storyline that you need to get to
like,
that ball.
You're gonna be like, when you hit it, you make the ball, when that ball in the cup, earthquakes,
the cup,
that's like gameplay.
The
mechanic.
Cup, the string, and the ball, and the handle have, like, a past. But they're trying to work towards a future of getting the ball into the cup.
So what are they saying?
But the string
like,
can't. The string can't do it because he doesn't have any, like, limbs or anything.
They
it's
make,
just string.
They make it so, like, that, like, the stick is like the wand of life. The rope is like, I don't know, what holds the world together
so, like,
or some shit. Like,
the
ball cup
to be
is
like the completion of life.
The cup,
it
yeah.
Have to be
the,
like,
oh my god.
The
and
cup
then once
is the holy grail.
Once the ball finally gets in the cup, like, the universe starts.
So that's what it is. It's just like it's like Jesus.
It's just
like
the beginning of science itself.
It's got like I need to get
so stupid.
He's like I need to get the boulder of life into like the holy grail.
The boulder of life.
It's gotta be something cool, dude. It's gotta be something cool.
No, that's the thing about Irrational. It doesn't need to be fucking cool.
But it will be.
They'll just make it so interesting.
Yeah, I admit though the era that in which the games take place both. Both games, if you go to look pretty cool. Bass era.
Yeah.
Like Bioshock 1, like, you know, what, the midst of World War II? Like, already took the end of it.
What?
Bioshock 1, like, already 1945?
No, it was 1941. We talked about it.
Oh, that's right, my bad.
Yeah, pre-World War II. So.
Well, when, well, like because Ryan talks about the war, but it's the first great war.
What a great game.
Okay, so I think we're done with Bioshock Infinite. Well, I'm not done with Bioshock Infinite.
Okay, so like, you stand between two mirrors. And then that was Bioshock Infinite.
Yeah.
That made a bunch of sense for when people actually eat the game.
Okay.
I only seen that 1 hour of gameplay. Like, I haven't seen any game, like, anything other than
Stick around,
like, E3. Like, that's all I've seen. And I saw the ending. It's like, well, I mean, not bad. It's just all good. Like, it was like a game of, like, they can say it, but
did you just say the ending is not bad?
Okay, I'm sorry. The ending is amazing.
I mean, well, it's what you make it. If you think it was not bad,
no,
it's not bad, but it's all in perception
more,
of
it. The end of Bioshock is more concrete than the end of, like, fucking any Christopher
games.
Nolan movie. No, I think that's a fair comparison.
No titles in specific.
Yeah.
Still haven't seen it.
Batman. Bantam. Bantam Rising. That wasn't even one of the three. It was the dark middle chapter in between the middle chapter and the end chapter.
The middle chapter between...
Oh, about Batman. Did you hear that there are rumors that they want, like, before the Justice League movie comes out, Nolan wants to work on World's Finest movie?
Really?
Really?
Yeah. I didn't hear that part.
Yeah, and he's... But he's having a lot of trouble with it, apparently, because he doesn't know what to do with the way he ended Batman, how to, like, move forward from that with Batman.
Yeah,
because
he killed off Batman.
Yeah.
He killed off the character, as in Bruce Wayne.
You can't kill
the
Batman.
Yeah. No, he's
you
not dead.
You can't kill the Batman.
He's not dead, but it was clear that Bruce wanted to end that chapter in his life to move on. Yeah, just do
Batman
and do Spider-Man.
So that thing in I Am Legend.
What? I Am
that poster.
Yeah, that could happen.
Oh, the one where it's like, I mean,
like, yeah, where it's like
Batman.
Oh my god.
Why don't they just make that a movie?
Make that movie? Because...
Did you make it?
No,
about...
because then...
You can make it about them sitting in the kitchen, like, trying to make lunch.
Every action would just be intense.
Like, regular-ass Batman would open the jar of mayo and realize there's not enough, and, like, punch a hole in the wall.
What about
Green
Martian Batman?
You mean Green
Russian,
Batman?
Or like Russian Martian.
Russian Martian.
What role in
the entire movie
play?
Robin would just be over the shoulder of Batman.
Have you seen Batman.com?
No.
It's a great website. I got it.
But, yeah. But I don't know. I think the only like good game to transition from away from Bioshock would be Spec Ops. Because,
yeah.
God, I want to talk about that game so much, and I want to spoil the fuck out of that game so much, but I want to hold it a little bit back at the same time, because you don't even...
How long is the game, first of all?
It's like 7-8 hours long.
What's the impression?
So if I sat down, I could pass it tomorrow?
Yeah, you could shotgun through the game.
What'd you get?
Spec Ops. Especially because I didn't even want to, like...
I heard it invokes a lot of feels into the player.
Oh my god.
Like that there's one moment that it just like invokes all the feels.
No, there are a few where like shit happens and I'm like, oh man. Like on a past episode where I've talked about like the one thing that bores me in like modern military shooters is that they always glorify war instead of like, man, war is really, really fucked up and it actually like takes a toll on like the mind state
like
of a soldier. Yeah, well, Spec Ops is entirely about that.
I was gonna say, did you buy? Oh, I can't borrow it.
No.
Haha, can't take it from the PS3.
Just take it's right there. Yeah.
Just take the PS3. We've got two.
How is he gonna play it again?
But yeah, the comparison I was using is if Bioshock Infinite is relative to blank, then Spec Ops is relative to blank!
No, say it.
Okay, then
it reveals nothing.
Oh yeah, it does reveal nothing. Fucking, like, Spec Ops is the, like, Fight Club. Like, it invokes those same kinds of, like,
feels
where the movie is satisfying, the experience is satisfying. I'm thinking Spec Ops as a movie now because I played it on easy just to get through the narrative of it. Because the shooting in that game is kind of bland, like, there's enough to keep your attention, but... Fuck it, like the story beats in that game movie.
What did you compare Bioshock to?
To blank.
What was it?
To the blank 101. Well, like he said it, he's like, this is like blank blank 101.
Yeah.
Oh!
Then it made perfect
sense.
That's
what you told me earlier, really, and I was like, my hand hurts off you.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
It was.
Which is like a really solid comparison to that. That skipping around for the purpose of all the cheap people who haven't bought and played the game yet.
Oh, fuck you, dude.
On episode 5, we'll come back and just say what blank was, but nothing else.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be the whole show.
Blank was this. Move on to the rest of the show.
Yeah. Like, Spec Ops totally made me feel like Fight Club feelings. Where, like, the entire game, I'm like, okay, then, so this is really exploring, like, the psyche of the soldier in really interesting ways, but he's just getting, like, really battered and making terrible decisions and, like, them showing, like,
Do you play as just, like...
You make the bad decisions!
Do you play just some faceless guy, or just...
You're not a fake, like, he's voiced really well by Nolan North, if that's anything.
Drake, no!
Yeah. But, no, you're like a squad leader, but you were just sent in, like, on this really simple mission of, like, come in, don't get into the city, like, just get in close enough to, like, get to this radio outpost, and then
like signal the evac, and then we'll just
but
system wise do everything from there.
It's... But I guess what he's saying is, do you see his face? And he's just not like. Well, he's just not.
Well, the game is just not the entire game is third person. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh,
that's cool. It's a third person shooter.
I thought it was a first person.
It's Gearsy. There's some.
But there's
just the decisions. 600-pound dudes. The decisions that it makes you make, like choose between are crazy and like. I can spoil the hell out of this game. It came out last year, so yeah. Fuck your BioShock talk. But like, yeah, there's this one part where
you're just crying.
I'm too happy right now.
One of the really interesting decisions you have to make is we're getting out of a building, and you see these two men. They're tied up and hanging from a bridge, like under an overpass. And then you hear the general that's gone crazy and like caused a revolt in the city. He radios your character, and he tells you to make a decision, because these two men are out there hanging, and as like punishment due to martial law, like the civilian that's hanging is hanging there because he stole water, and the soldier that's hanging is hanging there because he was sent in to like imprison the man who stole from the water supply, but in the process of imprisoning the man. He killed that man's family, so he's being punished by it. And so they're both hanging, and they're telling you, like, so which one of these two do you think deserves to be punished? And I'm like, well, this is sort of a no-brainer to me, like, the soldier is clearly in the wrong. You can't move forward until you make a decision there, and I'm like, fuck, how the fuck do I make this decision? Well, whatever, this guy is already, like, psychologically fucked because, like, he showed up, he's been under attack by civilians... and the American army, since he showed up, I'm gonna fire on this soldier who is very clearly in the wrong. So, like, that happens, and then the general radios you, and he gives you this little bit of dialogue about, like, how he's surprised that you made that decision, and then your character's sort of, like, mulling over, like, what do you mean you're surprised? This guy is fucked. He was just, like, carrying orders, but he killed a man's family. The other guy just stole water. A little while afterwards, you realize that there's, like, hardly any water left in the city and everyone's gonna die.
Fuck!
So you aid this military, squad, because most of the military in the game has already, like, splintered off. And you go into this facility, and they decide that the only way to end what's going on in the city is to destroy the city's water supply.
Just kill everybody, though?
Yeah, everyone dies. But, like, this game, like, from the get-go, just, like, starts putting, like, really tough decisions on the player character.
It really burdens you with the decisions of real life.
Yeah, because the first time you talk to a guy who's, like, willing to talk to you and isn't just, like a crazy, like, Arab soldier, like, what kind of guy you expect to shoot in a modern military shooter, is a CIA agent, but he's, like, super seedy. And then, like, you're trying to track him, and you get to this building.
Shut the fuck up.
So when you finally find him in the building, he has an American soldier, like, tied up. And he turns to you and sort of, like, starts just laughing at you for no really clear reason. And then either dies or he gets out of the picture somehow. So you untie the soldier, and... he goes fucking crazy, like, you told him, like, keep your gun at him at all times, but, like, he's an American soldier, he's with you, so you're like, well, fuck, man, just calm the fuck down, but he runs off, and then, like, you try to follow him, and he's told, like, the chain of command, you're there, and you're the enemy, so the entire game, you're fighting, like, other American soldiers, and you become, like, this rogue squad of, like, three dudes, just trying to get to the middle of the city. And the entire time I felt bad because I'm like, oh my god, this is like worse for me somehow than that stupid No Russian level in Call of Duty because I'm gunning down American fucking soldiers. This is worse to me than gunning down civilians in a foreign country because these are people who enlisted to put their life like on the line for the country that they're willing to protect. And I'm like,
there was kids there in that airport.
This is fucked.
There was kids!
And who gives a fuck? They're Russians.
There were no, okay, as well, I've been there.
I know, that mission. I tried going through, trying to find any kids, but like, apparently only adults go to airports.
I killed everyone in that airport. Nobody.
The first time I did it, I was just shooting in the air.
To get to other people. you know, pistol, but I just like, kill people.
Even when playing that mission, I almost just, like, got an LMG and fired, like, slightly above everyone.
So you die morally at peace with yourself? Like, yeah. I'm not shooting these virtual fake people.
Well, you die in the end anyways, regardless of what you do.
Yeah.
It's just that you could die before the end on that level.
Like, as you go through the game, it just gets more and more fucked.
Yeah,
there's a point where you decide that the only way to clear an area of enemy soldiers is to bombard them with a white phosphorus mortar.
Oh, Jesus.
So you're firing, and the entire time you're on the computer and you're sort of yelling at your squad and telling them where to fire. You're just plotting out, like, fire spots. Uh-huh. And the entire time they're yelling at you, like, this is really fucked up. We shouldn't do that. Then you, being an asshole, yell back at them, like, this is the military, chain of command, obey it. And I'm like, God damn, this game!
Yes, sir!
Yeah, so, as it turns out, like, the most clustered group of enemies is, like, a tent, and you fire on it, and after that, the area is clear, and you move forward. And you walk through the tent, and all the soldiers are asking you, like, why are you firing on us? Because it turns out that they were, like, the one group of soldiers that was there protecting a camp of civilians. And they're all burning and, like, crawling across the floor. And the main character gets to the back of the tent, and there's, like, a mother holding her burnt, crisp daughter there. And he's just there staring at the corpses for, like, a minute while everything around him just starts to blur. Later on, the civilians take one of your soldiers, and they, like, beat him to a pulp. And they're getting closer and closer to you. Like, this giant crowd of civilians. And this is the end of the game. By then, your character's fucked, so I'm like, how the fuck do I move forward? Because they're, like, getting closer to you, and they're, like, throwing shit at you. Your health is going down. So I blast a guy in the face, and then after that, I'm just like, you know what? Fuck it. This is the line, and I'm far past it at this point. So I plow through all of the civilians and make it up to the general.
The line! You just turn over, there's like a land you cross, and like all the bad shit you did is like on this side, and all the good stuff over here.
Like, but you're on the back
side. Oh, yeah, you're on the line. That's why he's like, look at the line, soldiers!
Continue.
The end of that movie is so
movie?
Yes, it's not a game. I didn't play it for the shooting. It's a fucking movie.
It gets
so much better because if you choose not to off yourself and just like blow away the truth, the credits roll, and after the credits, military reinforcements roll into town, and like as they're driving up to the tower, you sort of like walk down. And you're this guy who's a complete fucking mess, like, your face is burnt and scarred, your uniform is in, like, complete tatters, and the soldier is, like, slowly coming up to you, like, and, like, you can hear them talking, like, this is the guy, right? And you're just a fucking, like, empty shell at this point, you're just walking forward, and they tell you to, like, come closer. And, like, stand down, put your weapon down, because you walk out with a shotgun and, like, hung around your back or something. But at that point, like, the ending splinters again, and you could choose to just, like, go with them. And
start flying through them again?
No, like, you could choose to, like, give up your weapon and surrender and sort of, like, come to terms with everything that happened again.
So they give you a second chance?
Yeah. Or you could do what I did and, like, at the moment where they're telling you, you have to do something, you have to do something, you can either put your gun down, don't do anything, and get killed by them, or you can start taking fire at them. And I'm like, well, I've already said no once, so like, I just have to push this consequence as far as it can go. And I take them all out. And the ending I get from there is I pick up a radio, and I hear someone who's on the outskirts of the city, whose mission is something along the lines of what my original mission is, and I say into the radio what I thought I heard on the radio, which is welcome to Dubai. And like the entire thing just cycles in on itself, and I'm like, ah, oh, this game is so satisfying. I'm going to show you all if there's a checkpoint at the end of the game.
What time is it? The line.
There's the line, soldier. Oh, on the phone.
Okay. Another recap. Michael, what'd you think of Far Cry 3?
Far Cry 3 was great. I had told Twitch that I was playing, I played Ascension, I beat it, and then I played, like, Far Cry 3, and I was like, I really want to play Ascension again, but I didn't want to stop playing Far Cry 3. Like, I want to play both at the same time, so I just...
Why did you play Ascension, dude?
Why did you...
Chain of Olympics.
The Olympic chain.
And then, chains of Olympics.
It's just Mario.
Chains of Olympics. Yeah, and I was like, yeah, and I really wanted to, like, just, I wanted to play more on the story, and I was like, I beat Far Cry 3, because I beat Ascension before you beat Far Cry 3. Oh, it was great. Like I told, like we talked about, like, my favorite part of that was fighting that giant boss in the temple, or like the ink monster shit. You just fight, like, that was cool, and then you're like the god of war.
That was
like,
really...
You jump up its arm, and then, like, you stab in the eye.
That thing was really out of place, dude.
Spoiler.
In the game? That ink monster.
Oh, you're talking about the stupid boss fight?
That thing was really out of place.
It was really, I really...
Do you remember the big black thing in Kingdom Hearts 1 that you fight? And Kingdom Hearts 2, actually?
Oh, I didn't get that far in Kingdom Hearts 2.
In Kingdom Hearts 1, it's the first thing you fight.
The thing on the circle.
Yeah, the big shadowy thing. It looks just like that, but with a mask. And all you're doing is shooting fire arrows at it.
Explosive arrows. Alright, fire arrows.
They're actually explosive arrows. But you spend the entire like time shooting it, and then you go and kill it, and then you wake up from your
drug-induced coma.
Yeah,
And I was trying to find what before I found all the 60 relics for the trophy. I was like, I want to find all of them.
All the what?
I was like, all the relics. Like, I want to find all of them. I don't know everything in that. Got 60? Fuck no. I only found enough to level up because I still need to level up, and I got the tattoos and stuff.
They're called Tatao.
The Tatao is actually really cool. It looks cool, like the whole design. Except that for me, it wasn't.
Did you see Jason Brody? Like, did you see what he looks like?
What do you mean, like in the menus?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, he's a fucking douchebag.
Yeah, he looks like a total douche. Like I can see him doing the
intro. Twitch was enjoying the game so much, and then I was like, hey, look, Twitch, that's you. And then he didn't want to touch the game anymore.
Yeah. Because, like. You see that character, like, you see his way he looks, like looking at him, and it's like, man, I could see him killing all the friends and going with Citra at the end, like, being a total dick and then just getting killed.
I didn't care. Everything after Lost Eyes.
Which ending did you pick?
Or I said no. Like, no, I'm gonna save my friends, and then... And then poor Dennis kills Citra. No, I wasn't like, I'm not gonna stay with this bitch. She's like, I love you, and I'm like, but, we barely even met. Like,
you slit her throat so
bad. Oh, man. Dude. No,
Michael knows the way of life. We just met. What are you even talking about?
No, I saw that. I got Yahoo, YouTube the ending, the other ending. And I was like, I was like, God damn it. I didn't want to see her die. She's like genuinely, she's my favorite character in the whole game. Like,
what?
The
girlfriend. No, you're saying Boss wrong.
No.
Boss was just say it with her. Boss was your favorite character.
What was the girl's name? Lisa or something?
See, you can't even remember her name.
Well, she was cool. No, Boss? Like, Boss was...
Yeah, he keeps saying
that. I hated Boss. He was so dickhole. Just I like his accent.
Too. Hold on. You're saying loved wrong.
Like, his accent wasn't off.
No, I didn't say it. I just liked it. That shit was funny.
What else?
About Boss and how Boss is the best
character. Oh, right. How about Boss Cry 3?
Oh, man.
He's a crazy...
Blood Dragon DLC.
I don't even know anything about it.
Oh, my, on the trailer is like Jason Brody or some shit. Like decked out in future gear, like he's got these stupid purple goggles, and then there's a robot dragon behind him, and everything's all tie-dye, and the robot dragon has laser eyes, and he's throwing cyber fire all over the cover.
That's gotta be fake!
No, but it has to be real.
No!
It's so good, dude. And then, like, there's gotta be a part where the dragon stops and goes, so, did I ever tell you the
but in Boss's voice.
Yes. That's the only voice that phrase can ever be said.
What if he says it in Antonio Banderas' voice?
I don't even know.
Then the game just became sensual.
Puss in Boots became a dragon?
Yeah.
Far Cry 3 was good.
Far Cry 3
was cool.
I'll give it 8.7 out of 10.
I think the game...
The game probably would have scored better, like, if it had no writing.
Out of 10, I give it about a boss.
That sounds like a 9.5.
A boss out of 10.
That sounds like a 9.5.
These are Ricky's grading criteria. Satisfaction of life and a boss.
Satisfaction of life out of 10. And boss out of 10.
From 1 to 1, from 1 to 20, it's the satisfaction of life out of 10. And then Far Cry 3 gets
a boss out of 10.
So I have to finish Assassin's Creed 3.
So you can give it an Ezio Auditorium out of 10.
I give it a...
So you cannot play
it out of, like...
Oh. But there's only, like, two Desmonds.
There's only one Desmond.
That's why. He says, like,
Desmond is on the island.
All right, so next topic.
I saw G.I. Joe.
Cool. No, like, my next topic was poop.
Oh. I saw G.I. Joe.
Tell us about it.
Okay, so G.I.
Joe. Tell us about The Rock.
Okay,
the only thing I have to say about The Rock is that man is either way too old because he's always sweating. Like, I swear to God, everything, he's just sitting down and he's just dripping.
He's not old.
They just poured
that's
oil
just
all over
him. How amazing he is.
Okay. No, yeah.
I think we can all agree on that. All of us want to be The Rock at one point in our lives.
Just too
all the time.
Like that meme was like...
All of us
I will
have
give
wanted
that
to be
new
the
movie
Rock.
This, though, like... Foreseeing there. Okay, that movie sucked because Commander Cobra still hasn't yelled Cobra, and that's bullshit.
Cobra Commander.
I think what made up for that, though, was the fact that we got to see the inside of Bruce Willis's house.
Oh, yeah, there's
his actual house.
Yeah, there's a scene in that movie that I'm pretty sure was just filmed by going to Bruce Willis's real house. And if you ever see the movie, you'll know exactly what I mean.
I'd be like, Die Hard.
No, he's a cop. Not even. Yes, just like, well, of course, Bruce Willis has guns there and there
and also there
and there.
Like there was this one scene where it just filmed him. Like there was like a fruit bowl and people just kept grabbing apples, oranges, and then someone just pulled out a grenade, like right there.
Who would eat nutritious
grenades in fruit bowls?
Yeah,
I thought the show was natural. What? Keeping grenades in your fruit bowls.
Fruit bowls.
Well, like I loosely saw the cartoons when I was little. There's a moment pretty early in the movie that was super surprising, and that like sort of like made me go, "Aw!" And then I remembered, "Oh, this is like this movie completely detached from that. I shouldn't care about what happens to this person.
Everyone gets
to
score. Yeah.
What happens to Bruce Lee?
Yeah. And well, the ninja parts were cool. All of the ninja parts in that movie, they were cool because they were so stupid. But like, it's
like on the side of the mountain.
When they were all that ninja shit was so stupid, like tossing a body off the mountain and then like fucking jumping off the mountain after the body and then having sword fights while attached to a string.
Because then you just throw him off the mountain. Why would you follow him?
Because you need him.
Because you're the ninja.
Why'd you throw him off the mountain?
Because you needed to get him out of there.
The body is
off the mountain with him.
No, because you.
Because then you can't fight off the other ninjas.
Yeah.
Have you guys seen the Business Bond?
No.
Totally the next day. Totally Die Hard without Bruce Willis.
Bruce Willis.
Dude, is that like Die Hard? Like how Die Hard
die
was?
Die Hard without Bruce Willis.
So,
like,
did it suck?
Just say Die Hard sucked?
No, I said did it suck without Bruce Willis? Because if it's Die Hard without Bruce Willis, then it must
suck. No, it was...
Dude, if she had said Die Hard sucked, I would have thrown this guy.
Like, miss
narrowly, but just so she'd get the point.
No, like...
This
how could you not love Bruce Willis? Like, that man's a genius.
Like, imagine, like, you know how... Like,
he's a cop.
How Bruce Willis, like, Die Hard, like, he, like, in Nakatomi Tower. Like, just imagine that, but, like, in the White House. And it's
so
the president's
at home. That, like, makes
so,
it
is
more
he
like Die Hardy.
Is he still dying? Is he still fighting?
Because it's not, like,
Snape?
Worldwide. It's not, like, the like they don't get...
But
like,
it's the White House.
They keep the essence of, like...
In
like,
Die Hard, you're in, like, a fancy skyscraper. And everything is contained to that skyscraper.
No, that's why, like, everything in, like, in the movie is contained to, like, just, like, the White House. Like, sections of the White House. Like, he backtracks a lot.
It's Gerard Butler, right?
Yeah, like, and there's sections of it where it's like, my God, that happened in Nightmare. Like, they did that in Nightmare. Like, when he's talking to them. Like, you know how...
So they just recycled that scene. It's even, like, back when...
Like, you know how, like...
We saw Drive, huh?
You saw Drive
Well, you saw Drive for the first time.
I thought it was cool.
You know how in Nightmare, that's all I had to say. Bruce Willis is talking to Carl from Family Matters.
Okay, silence. So Ryan Gosling, he's sitting like at a bar at a restaurant,
hold on,
right?
Coming from somebody who sees it for the first time, like it's just a story of how Ryan Gosling becomes a full grown goose.
Instead of a tiny little goosey?
Yeah, that movie.
Okay, what about?
It had so many turning points. Like the story was going in one direction, and then it turned, and then it turned again, and then it just it went like this, and then it turned, and then it turned again, and then it just went went past the first turning point, and then it just kept going.
Yeah, like there was point at the end of the movie where there's like a glimpse of a stock car, and then Ricky was like, "I thought the movie was gonna be about that car."
They put so much money and like work into that car at the beginning of the movie. And then there was one part where he's in a diner and he's just sitting there, you know, he's eating some pie. And then some other guy, because he's a stunt driver. The guy
Gotham.
Whose name is just Driver. I like to call him Driver.
Ooh, Driver. Wasn't that a game?
So his name's Driver, right?
Maybe it's like linked.
No. It's not. The driver games aren't violent.
Okay. His name is Drive. And so at night or like in his off time, he drives bad people around. That's all he does. He doesn't partake in any of the bad crime. He just drives them around. So
piece of shit.
There's one part where he does one mission and then he goes and he's working on his car and he's driving and he's trying to get like a lot of money so he can work for, I'm assuming, like NASCAR. And so he has his car set and everything, and then there's a part where he's in a diner eating pie. And this guy who apparently he did a job with, he's like, "Hey, I know you. I have another job for you. Would you like..." And then he just stops him and he's like, "How would you like it if I kicked your teeth so far down your throat?" And then the movie changes completely. And I wasn't really paying attention to what the other guy was telling him. So I just kept asking Twitch, what did that guy say to him? What could he have possibly told him that made him so angry?
Because that particular individual.
At first, he was, you know, kind of serious. He helps his neighbor, who he has a crush on.
Is he gay? Continue.
He helps his neighbor. Like, her car broke down at a Big Six. Because they don't have Big Eights, they have Big Sixes.
I should have just gone with Big Seven.
So... like, the car breaks down, so he drives him home, and he tries to... He takes their car, because he's also a mechanic, so he takes their car to the mechanic place that is owned by Heisenberg. So...
Oh, yeah, Heisenberg's in
there. Heisenberg with a limp before his time as Malcolm's dad. So, oh, man, he dies terribly.
Do they drive into him?
No.
I don't care about the spoilers at this point. You know, what a straight razor is, right? The things that they used to shave. So the bad guy of the movie, he goes up to him. Well, he meets him at the mechanic shop because they've decided that Heisenberg needs. I'm just gonna refer to him as Heisenberg. Mm-hmm. He needs to leave Los Angeles. That's where it takes place, right?
Yeah.
It takes place in Los Angeles. So they decide, oh, you need to get out of here and never come back because they're gonna find you and they're gonna kill you. So he's getting all his stuff packed, and then he walks into his garage, just getting ready to get in his car and leave. And the bad guy's there. And he says something stupid like, "Oh, for someone who has a lot of really nice priceless cars in here, you would think you'd have better locks." And then there's a part where they talk, and then
it's embarrassing that you remember that part.
The guy gets really sad. He gets really sad, and then they decide to shake hands. So if you're Heisenberg and I'm the bad guy, he goes like this, and then he pulls out a straight razor and slits his arm, and he's just like, "That's it. It's done. No more pain." That's literally what I imagine him going like.
Yeah. Softly caressing you.
And the whole time he's just holding his hand, you know, while his arm bleeds out, and Heisenberg can't do anything about it. He's just like,
was he trying to do anything?
No, he had no idea what was going to happen.
It was very, very, very deep because it was just like gushing blood everywhere. Everywhere.
Was there Tarantino at that point?
No, it wasn't like squirting out, you know, it was just like oozing. And he's just looking at it like, oh, I can't do this. I can't do anything about this. And then he just dies. And then Drive gets angry.
Is that Bruce at this point?
No.
Oh, man. That guy's face.
Pissed off geese.
Oh! That part, he tries to get a... Oh, well, they decide they need to kill Drive. So he goes and gets his crush lady. It's a lady. She actually came out of Doctor Who.
Pretty sure she did.
Yeah, she did. I know. I fucking know. So they're in the elevator, and there's this other guy, the guy who was sent to kill Drive. And so they're standing next to each other, and Drive turns to the right, and he sees that inside his jacket pocket he has a gun. So he, like, I don't know why the other guy didn't act at this point, but he's standing, and the girl's, like, right here, and so he just goes, and he turns, and he starts making out with her, right? For a good 3 minutes, he starts making out with her.
And what are the other two doing?
The other guy's just standing there, because it's, like, in slow motion.
So it's slow motion 3 minutes.
Yeah, so it's, like, about a minute and a half. So the guy, he lets go over, and then he looks at her, and then he turns to the other guy, and the guy starts to draw on him, and then he just smashes his head against the elevator door and have like a little cool kind of fight thing.
A QTE moment.
And it gets to the part where he like
oh,
where
not even.
Where Drive throws the other guy to the ground, and he kicks his gun away, and then he starts like he kicks his head, and then he starts completely like bashing his head into the elevator floor. I feel bad for the maintenance guy. Has to clean that up. So he starts smashing his head, and for a second, the camera turns to see it, and his face is just, like, caved in.
Yeah.
And then he
steel-toe boots, or...
No, you need wearing, like, shoes.
Mm-hmm. Just, no, like, just, like, stomping on his face.
You know how in elevators, they have, like, hand, like, holding rails? He grabs onto both of them, I guess, to keep balance, and he's just like...
What's the other guy doing at this moment?
He's on the floor, getting his face...
I just said there was like two guys.
No, it was one guy, Drive, and then the girl. And the girl like steps out of the elevator.
And this entire movie like happens because fucking Hispanic date rape is assholes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So the guy, the asshole from Sucker Punch, like the club owner, he's like the guy in this movie who is never really outright a bad guy. He's just the reason why everyone's life fucking sucks because he's a stupid asshole.
He's the first one to get shot, and when the guy shoots him, it pops out. You know, it's all bloody and stuff. And then the second girl who dies, oh man, her head.
She gets shot in the head with the Fear One shotgun.
Yeah, with the shotgun from Fear One. And the guy does it from pretty far away, but Twitch was like, her face is gone. And I was like, no, her face is fine. Because he shot her from the side, so her face is here, and the back of her head is here.
Oh, but nothing.
But there's like a hole just right here where her brain and everything inside used to be.
And it happened in slow motion.
Yeah. And they had to pull a buckshot out of Drive's arm.
What about that girl? Her head's never going to be the same again.
Well, they can't pull the buckshot out of her head.
They can't even put her head together, dude.
It's like that part in King Kong where he, like, smashes the T-Rex.
And
then he tries for a second to, like, see if it'll come back.
Breaks that jaw and just like, oh, maybe I can fix it. Maybe I can still keep this fight going.
Yeah.
No, he's dead.
So, all in all, Drive was pretty cool.
Drive was pretty cool.
First up, being someone that you didn't want to watch it, like, you didn't see... No, well, you did want to watch it, you just didn't seem really enthusiastic, and now you can't stop talking.
No, it wasn't that, but
no,
the first time that I tried watching it, it was here when we first moved in, and we only got up to the part where...
Imagine
that. Where he... I think, like, the last thing I remember seeing is him giving the little kid a toothpick.
Oh, okay.
Because, if I'm not mistaken, I got called into work earlier.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, oh, shit, I have to go into work an hour earlier, which means I have to get ready now. So I got ready, and then I went to work an hour earlier.
So you never got to see it?
So I didn't get to see it until recently I bought a bunch of...
fucking gory action movies.
Yeah, just... No, they're just cool. Like, oh! That was so cool when I realized... I was looking up One Day Killing Them Softly, which, if you guys remember from the last show, was my movie of the year. Mm-hmm. I was trying to check when it would come out. It came out the same day as Bioshock Infinite. And I was so happy. And so I went and I bought it. And I bought that one. I bought Red. I bought Rock and Rolla. And... like three other Bruce Willis movies.
It was a Bruce Willis kind of thing.
Yeah, it was three Bruce Willis movies and Killing Them Softly.
Dude, what is...
up until today, as a matter of fact, today I saw it. I watched Killing Them Softly again. I've seen that movie. I've owned it for like a little under a week. And I've watched it a little under a week.
What does Gerard Butler say?
There's a part
like he walks on scene and then like something happens and then he turns to the main character and he's like,
and I'm like, what did he say? And so I rewind it. We still couldn't understand it. What time is it? Michael needs to be home.
About to be 9:30.
Michael needs to be home in 12 hours.
So in half an hour ago.
Yeah.
Anyways, go watch Olympus Has Fallen. It's a good ass movie. And G.I. Joe.
And Drive.
And Rock and Roller. And Killing Them Softly.
And go watch that movie where, like, Batman.
Yeah.
Also, go watch Dragon Ball Z.
Ooh! Okay, I think the last thing we should talk about.
In Japan.
The new Batman. And Robin 18.
Oh, yeah. You just read that, right?
Yeah.
You read that a little bit.
I was like,
you can't read that.
Yeah, there was no words.
Yeah.
Actually, yeah, there's like a letter.
The white stuff had like the white, like.
Oh, Michael, come on now.
That was
the white pages at the end were like, they weren't anything to do with it, right?
No.
All right,
I read about a third of the Batman collection you have. Right. And that issue was the Batmanist that I've ever read. Or seen. I don't know how to say
it. It's not just his parents anymore.
It's his son. Oh, man.
Like, we don't know anyone that likes Gotham is comics a lot, right?
No.
Gotham is crime-free. Like, forever.
He's like in...
They're gonna need to build another Arkham Asylum.
Well, I mean, that would be fucking dope. Because in Rocksteady, like, we can jump right on it.
No. Just build another one to put all the criminals he stopped in that 5-minute span.
Yeah. In five minutes, like... Batman went all around. Got everyone. and he left them. He turned on the bat signal to call
Gordon. I'm pretty sure at that point Gordon was like,
Oh my god.
Oh my god. Everybody in Gotham needs to get to the shelters. Now!
God damn. I'm gonna be rolling the Benjamins, boys. All the bad guys are just gonna book the dicks.
Oh, but like, this has, like, Batman and Robin, like, the series, like, the comics are still gonna be coming out. They can't just change it. They can't just cut it.
Yeah.
So, like, do you think, how long until there is a new Robin in it? Like, who could the new Robin be? Because this would be the first time there's a Robin switch in the new 52.
Bane?
Oh my god, that'd be the first Robin of all time.
Yeah, Batman gets a hold of Osito, and then he's like, Bane, you want Osito back in one piece? And he tears off his ear. And Bane is just like, no! And then, like, he's like, what do you need me to do? So Batman just, like, holds a little costume in the air. And then in the next panel, it's just Batman and then Bane like that.
Like, Bane looking down at
Yeah, Bane just like this, like, hunched over, wearing the Robin costume.
I keep hearing maybe Stephanie Brown.
Yeah.
Well, this would be the first time it's known of in the New 52. It was, like, a soft reset.
Didn't she die? She died in the War Games series.
Yeah, but she, like...
Oh, I feel so bad. But not really, changed. Because it was Black Mask, and I was just like, that's my boy!
That's my boy! Nope. All that stuff that happened with the Joker lately was pretty cool.
Death of the Family. I stopped reading the...
I have all the rest of them on the Kindle, too, but... No, like, I feel... Like, all the Joker stuff that happened was so cool and so psychological, but Grant Morrison killing off Robin was just like, boom, slap in the face. The Joker and everything that, like, he psychologically imposed on Bruce Wayne means fucking nothing now, because, dude, he's dead. Not the Joker. The Joker's not dead. But, yeah, Damien is dead.
Damn, again.
Damien died? No, he didn't even exist, like, pre-New 52, like, in a proper form, did he?
Yeah, Yeah, he died in another...
No, that was Jason Todd.
No, I know that was Jason Todd. I know Jason Todd's... But yeah, I know that's the one that...
There's only one way to describe that moment. I mean, you cannot sum it up any better way than... You're gone.
Please.
But then he's...
What if Batman becomes a new Robin?
Oh my
god. Like, he puts on the tights. Like, he doesn't even just change over the size. He just, like, strips them on.
And he has dialogue with himself. Like,
it's exactly like those scenes where he's, like, swinging through the city and he's hallucinating that Damien is right next to him, but he's just dressed like him now.
It'd be funny if he was still wearing the Batman costume. No, no.
What if Alfred's the new Robin?
It'd be a very...
So, do you really need me to... Alright. I guess I can wear it for 5 minutes. All of a sudden, he had an Atlas voice.
For real? What was that?
Well, I can wear it for 5 minutes. Also, speaking of Atlas, dude, let's play some Zombie U tonight.
Okay.
Yeah.
Hey.
I almost bought a Pro Controller so that the multiplayer would be that much more easy to play.
The multiplayer's so good, though.
I almost had you guys a guide, but...
Oh, but you're not good enough for
it? I was already too busy shoveling all the way
to just tell you. Shoveling shit into a bag.
And I was like, bought the game, and then this girl was like, oh, look, I want that one. I was like, fuck you, that's mine. I was like, God damn it, I'm not going to tell her anything.
You should have, bitch, and then slapped her in the face, and then,
what
like,
was
found her mom. I hate that game.
And slapped her again.
Found her mom, and then slapped her again. The
girl like found her mom, and then went back to her and slapped her.
I think that's the moment where he started being, like,
Rick,
a little dead inside. Have you seen that gif of Rick from The Walking Dead, and it's just slowly zooming in on his face? Oh,
I think so.
And he's got, like, his eyebrow cocked, and he looks like The Rock, and in that moment, he is The Rock. No, in that moment, we all want to be The Rock for the rest of our lives.
Even with the sweat and all?
Yes.
Yeah. I only want to be The Rock underneath this universe.
Oh! Oh, my face!
I have to edit this too.
Oh, God, why?
Oh, sorry. Why? Is it like checkerboard pattern?
I don't know.
Oh, my God.
We've lost him.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. Is that
You guys are gonna kill him.
I want to see how long before his fingernails start bleeding.
Oh, that was horrible, man.
Jace, put it back.
Oh, dude, my eyes. Like, I saw it from the side, and then once I saw it, focus.
All these colors, man.
Dude, count all the black squares.
Twitch doesn't have eyes anymore. He just
curved them out of his skull.
Look what it's called, dude.
I will make your eyes cry again.
I like the fact that
Twitch is incapable, so I think I'm going to end this.
All right. Yeah. Well, we'll just end it. Yeah,
I know.
You'll enjoy this.
Oh my God, her face!
I think that's it.
Oh God! Is it done yet? Is it stop?
No.
Okay. Goodbye, party people.
Later, everybody.
Goodbye, everybody.
Show Notes Show.
Bye-bye. See you next time.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to the Show Notes Show, episode 6.
Six, because 5 was crap.